begin at the Mishnah, Yud Aleph Med Aleph. You saw them running after some lost item, after a wounded deer, after chicks that have not yet flown, so they can just hop. So the owner is running through his field and he wants to acquire them. So he declares, my field acquires them for me. It's also, it works. He acquires them. If the paced animal is, this deer is running at normal clip where he won't be able to catch it, or they are flying birds already, the chicks can fly, and he declares that he wants his field where they are in current transit to acquire these animals for him. Lo amaklon. He has said nothing. It does not work. Rashi says, Amar tzvi shava. Do dumya demetzia. Fanu yochel larutz. It's like find because it's not able to run. Meshtamim so sadet. And it's guarded, protected within his field. Lo yitlu achirim. As long as nobody else takes it. Tosos points out, if it's slowed down a little bit, but it's still this deer fast enough to outpace him, so it would be the same halacha. The kisheras kedako imagim. The Mishnah is just talking about the normal case when the deer is running at its normal clip. He can't catch it. If it's wounded, he can, but it doesn't really matter whether it's wounded or not. Fundamental question is, can he catch it? That's the Mishnah. Go down to the bottom of the Amud, Yud Aleph Med Aleph, five lines from the bottom. Qualification on the Mishnah. We're talking about where the owner of the field is standing at the side of his field. And also was stated by Rabbi Bar Chana, qualification of our Mishnah, when will it acquire for him? When he is standing there. He's remote and makes this declaration, it won't work. That is the claim of Ula. Ese, Rabbi Kashanus, Rabbi Abba Ula. Rabbi Abba presents a question to Ula. Ese, Shani Asit Lamud, the text that I will measure out in the future. Nosun Yeshua. This has been given to Rabbi Yeshua. Rashi, Isar Shani Asid Lomor, this tenth that I will measure out in the future. Nizka Shalo Isar Maisroso. Rabban Gamliel remembered that he had not taken the tithes. Luk Shalo. He was struggling with this. Mir Lasron. Bashar Sham, he wanted to set aside the tithes where he was. He was at the ship with these great sages. He was not next to his field, and he wanted to effect a transfer. Nosun Yeshua, they are given to Yeshua. Le Rebbe Yeshua Bar Hananya, Rashi says, Shahaya imo b'spina, they were together on the boat. Vehu Levi, and Rebbe Yeshua Bar Hananya was a Levi. Venoto Maisa Risha. Therefore, he took the first tithe, Kedamrin Be'erchen. As Gemara says in Erchen, Yid Aleph Amibes, Maisa Rebbe Yeshua, Shahalach Asayez, Rebbe Yochanan Ben Gudgada, Da'agafas Losos. He went to go and assist. Rabbi Yeshua went to go and assist Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada by the doors, the temple, to secure the doors. Amar lo, Chazbuchai said, return, go back. Sha'ata minhan mesharirim, you are from those of the Levites who are singers. Avani minarim, and I'm from those that are the watchmen. Here, Bebisa, this is a controversial text. The one who switches his designation. If he's a singer, and then he switches to do the other Levitical job of guarding the gate, so it's a violation, and it's b'misa. That is true if he's doing the job of a Kohen. Some of the Kohanim did do guarding in certain places. A Kohen who does a Levitical job is over an alav, without misa, and everybody should stay in their lane, so to speak. Now, Koponim, whether the gear says misa or not is controversial. Let's take a look at Tosos, Yud Aleph Amud Beis. If you have a question, Baha, Kansinu Ezra. This is obviously post Ezra. Ezra Sofer made a fine. Not enough Levim went up with him. And he made a fine against Levim. Yes, did not receive Maisarishan. Did not receive the first tithe, which is meant to be given to the Levites. Mishloma Desir Le Kirbi Kiva. An answer. That Rama Gamliel is giving to a Levi, Maaser Rishon, holds like Rabbi Akiva. Da'amar, who says, Dekodem, Knas, Dafko a Levi. What was the Knas? What was the fine? Before the fine, it needs to go to a Levi. V'achak Knas al-Koin u'le Levi. after the fine, it could be given either to a Kohen or a Levi. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel is allowed to give it to a Levi, even though after the Knas, it could have gone to a Kohen. Im Toma, another Kasha, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gud Gadol, Sh'amar Rabbi Yeshua, Sho'arim, this story, name Levim. It sounds like they were both Levim. Daphne Vovimabez says, Amrina, Mishar Melechim upon him. Those that engaged in this particular labor took their reward from the lechem aponim. Lechem aponim, this showbread, ain't a mutter el kohanim. It could only be consumed by kohanim. So, based on the Gemara Sukkah, this discussion between Rabbi Yochanan ben Gud Gadol and Rabbi Yeshua is not between two Levim, but apparently Rabbi Yochanan ben Gud Gadol was a kohen. There were three places in the temple where the Kohanim would guard, so, in effect, Tosus is answering that Rabbi Yochanan ben Gud Gadol was a Kohen, and he was telling Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya to back off, this is not his job, and according to that, the text is correct. Right. In the case where the Levi is looking to do a job done by Kohanim, when Metosus explains that Gersa is correct. Let's continue back in the Gemara, on top of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. The Rabbi Gamliel is giving, trying to effect this transfer of Maaser, and he says, and its place is rented out to him. Rashi says, V'kibal mimeno sham. Rabbi Gamliel accepted the rent for this place. V'kol kach lama, why go through this whole thing? K'dei liknos Maaser, in order to acquire the tithe, in order that his chatzer, his courtyard, should acquire for him, because the tithe is grain, or something like that, and is not nearby, he's trying to effect a transfer, how can he effect a kenyan? It has to be either done through meshicha, which requires being close to the metatlin, it has to be next to this movable property, to draw it towards himself, in effect, through this symbolic act, an acquisition. Or his courtyard can acquire it for him. So if his courtyard is acquiring it for him, he's getting an aga, the chatzer. That's how the transfer of this meiser, this tithe, is taking place. So he paid the rental value. Rabbi Gamliel has more meisers to deal with. Another tithe that I will measure out. Noson Lakiva ben Yosef is given to Rabbi Akiva. And she says, Noson Lakiva, Gabai Haya. He was the Gabai, and he had a lot of people that he helped. And he gave out Maisarani, the tithe for the poor. That year, the second tithe was not Maisar Shani, but rather Maisarani. So it's not something that he sets aside for his pilgrimage, the Maisar Shani that is set aside. Goes to the pilgrimage to cover his expenditures over the pilgrimage. That's not what's happening this year. It needs to go to Aniyam. So Rabbi Akiva is a gabbai for Aniyam. Rabbi Gamliel is saying the second tithe for Maaser Ani should go to Rabbi Akiva, Kadesh Yiskevo, L'Aniyam, Makoma Moskala. And the place where it is rented out to him. Bechir Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva, and were Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani, and Rabbi Akiva, were they standing next to the field of Rabbi Gamliel? Certainly not. The story is they're all on a boat together. That's a question. Ula just said, for your field to make an acquisition for you, he has to be standing next to the field, next to his sadeh, or chatzer, courtyard. And in this story, we find that that was not necessary. Kash on Ula. Amar lei, demi haimi rabbanon k'delo gemiri inchi shmaitza. Apparently, Ula was not very impressed with this question. It says it appears that this fellow, who is from the sages, did not really learn enough. Not very impressed. Doesn't say an answer, just dismiss it. Very interesting. He also asked Sura, when he came to Sura, this is Rabbi Abba, asked this question to Ula. Rabbi Abba came to Sura. Amar luhu, hachi amar Ula. He said over to the Chachamim, to the lords in Sura, the city, this is what Ula said. V'hachi, Osvise, and this is what I asked against him. The story. Amalei Ahumar Abba, one of the rabbis there responded, what was the case over there? Transferred this movable property, the tithes, on the back of literally the real property. So he's giving a transfer of the real property. Along with that comes the movable property that is on the property, on the real property. Rabbi Zeira Kibla. Rabbi Zeira accepted this answer. Rabbi Abba, the one who was asking this question, did not actually accept this answer. He wasn't impressed with the answer. Rashi. Kes Rabbi Abba Lasura Amalahu. Natalta Yaakov Mekas proposed solution. Neat Lahem. Mekoma Bitaris Chatzer. And it's not because he wanted to effect an acquisition of the place through Chatzer, through the acquisition of Chatzer. Shafilu Hiknelem Chatzer Acheres. The ability to make this transfer does not require proximity. He's saying even if he would have given them another chatzer, another courtyard, where the movable property was not within it, it would still work. An acquisition through money, when he gives the money, for the property, real property, v'amitaflin, and for the movable property, or even b'mecher, through a sale, mitaflin b'matana, and the movable property as a gift, the acquisition will be effective, v'amitaflin, for the movable property, v'kirin akarka, the acquisition of the real property. So there is a transfer of ownership on the real property, and this will be a vehicle to effect a transfer of movable property as well, below Mashiach, without requiring the normal channels of the symbolic act to effect a transfer on movable property. It said Mashiach is drawing this movable property towards oneself instead of Bitsuros. Asher Biyuda, not quite sure why the Bach only makes one emendation from Bitsuros to Mitsuros. The Pasuk, speaking of Yehoshaphat, speaks about what he gave to his sons. The chesef lezav, the McDonald, im orei, doesn't say orim, orei. Mitzuros, like the Bach points out, be Yehuda. Vesam lochan asin liyahorim, the kingship was given to Yehoram, ki hu abachar, he was the firstborn. And things went downhill after that. He murdered his brothers, didn't work out very well. But Yehoshaphat, the righteous, gave all these gifts, and from here we derive the capacity to transfer the movable property together with the transfer of real property. And Rashi is pointing out, it does not have to be that they are together. Once you have a kinyan for karka, you can include in that metaltlin. Kibla lahai tirutza. Rabbi Zeira accepted this answer. Let's see the Gemara. So Rabbi Abba is not happy. Amar Rava. Rava says, Shapi Rava de lo kibla. Rava supports Rabbi Abba's rejection of this answer. Says he's correct. It's not a good answer. Could it be that they were on this ship and there was no sudr to do chalipin? They didn't have a handkerchief to just effect a kinyan chalipin in exchange, to do a symbolic act, effect a transfer through chalipin. They must have had a sudr. Ella, rather, tovas hana ain't a moment. Another mahal. Tovas hana, which is the right to direct these tithes, which Rabbi Gamliel possessed, is not considered money, liknos mimenu, b'chalipin, to be subject to a transfer through chalipin. So, chero, this is going on the second part, with Rabbi Akiva, who is being given over Tova Sana, to designate which aniyim are going to get the Maiser Ani, and Rava says that cannot be transferred through chalipin. Why? Because it's not considered moment. It's not considered financially valuable. Yes, he has a right to designate where it goes, but it's not considered moment. It has no financial value, not subject to a transfer through chalipin. Hochanami, tova sana in a moment. Liknos agav. So too, the ability to transfer tova sana agav karako. You want to transfer this right. Rabbi Gamliel wants to give over the right to determine who's going to receive these tithes through the transfer of the real property. So he says it won't work. It won't work. Agav kach Rashi, chilo haya lehem suda. They didn't have a handkerchief. Lama lo lekavim en mos. Why should he, Rabbi Gamliel, have accepted from them money? Meaning, just a suda would be more simple if it would work. Kenyan suda. Why does he say, pay me rent? A little bit more complicated. Ella suda, my time alo. Why was the suda inadequate? Why could they not use this kenyan chalipin exchange using this vessel, this handkerchief? The Torah sana shahaisul Rabbi Gamliel, b'maisro solalo. This ability to direct where the value goods shall go, eino chashuv ha-mamon, it's not considered money. Shetehei niknas b'chalipin, to be subject to a transfer through a kinyan of chalipin. Der lek le-meimar ki kana le-Rabbi Gamliel l'hai soder akne chalipin didei o-mokom shehen de-kevin de-ein lo behen ela tovas hana shebi-yodo sito chol mi she-yerze ein zu chashuv ha-mamon lo chol al zu kinyan chalipin. All he has, all Rabbi Gamliel has, is the ability to give it to whom he wants. That is not considered money, that it should be subject to a transfer through a kinyan chalipin, through this acquisition of exchange affected by the sudr, the handkerchief. It has to be a monetary, something of monetary value, to be subject to this transfer, and it's not. Paranami, gabi kinyan karka. So too, it's not subject to a transfer through kinyan karka. Ein amaman liknos al gabi karka. Bikinyan shakarka niknebo, through the symbolic act, which affects the acquisition of the property, the real property. Ella afkur ba'alma afkir kabayim. Rather, what happened? He was mafkir. Rabbi Gamliel rendered these properties, the real property, ownerless to them. Chi agur luhu makom konsol chatzera b'toras chatzek. And he was able to acquire through chatzer the movable property within, like other hafkir that he will acquire through his field. And therefore, the question posed by Rabbi Abba against Ulo is still in effect. Back in the Gemara, Vilohi. The Gemara pushes back on this assertion and rejects it. Manaskuna nesino ksivuhu. By the gifts of Kuhuna, the Torah describes it as a nesino, as a giving. Chalipin derech mekach umemko. Chalipin, this exchange, affected through the symbolic act with a handkerchief, or other kli, that is a symbolic act that is considered an act of transfer, of barter, mekach umemkar, buying and selling. Metalton agav karka nesino alimti. So, in contrast to chalipin, which is a barter or exchange form of symbolic act, which is inappropriate for the giving of matnas kuna, which says nesino, a giving. In contrast to that, the kenyan of metaltlin agav karka, of the movable property, together with the transfer of real property, that is a good giving. Nesino alimto hi, that's considered a good giving. So that's the advantage. To avoid a kenyan of chalipin, don't say it's better. We had an objection. They must have had a sudr. Why didn't they do that? No, it's inappropriate. We're trying to engage in a transfer of matnas kuna, which says nesino, chalipin is mekach umemkar, but metatlan al gab karko is appropriate for nesino, for the giving. Even though, as we said, superficially, they are giving, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva, are giving money for the rental value. It looks more commercialized, but in fact, the Gemara is asserting now it's less commercialized. It actually is in line with giving. The karka, perhaps you could say, is more commercialized, but the agav, metalflin being nicknas, agav the karka, that is a good nesina. Rashi velohi, mehai dechilo haylan suder lavrai. From the fact that they didn't have a suder, which they must have had, therefore that leads us to a question: why they didn't do that? There's no proof in that. Lemelf mina, to derive from that, de ein tovas hana nicknas b'chalipin, to claim that tovas hana, the ability to direct where these tithes should go, is not subject to kinyan chalipin, the acquisition with the handkerchief, or for that matter, agav karka, as an aside with the transfer of the property, real property, Because you could say, Hikna Lehen, he did transfer the movable property, which is his main concern, these tithes, okay, as a side transfer with the primary transfer of the real property. Well, the Kajalach, in Abba Chalipin, that which you had a question, why not do something more simple, Chalipin, which doesn't require them giving money for the rental value of the real property? Matanos shal kuhuna ulevia o maiser ani. All of these gifts, as she says, kuhuna ulevia and maiser ani, nesina ksiva bahu, they all are subject to the Torah's designation as a gift. Kidusiv, as it says in the Levi, you shall give it to the Levite. Is that maiser rishon? That is the first tithe. Ani, this is the tithe of the poor. Lefikach also laknosam besoder. Therefore, it is prohibited to transfer them with this handkerchief. That is a symbolic form of acquisition that is used for barter, for acquisition of buying and selling. This one is giving his vessels in exchange. And it has the appearance of a transactional symbolic act, which is exactly what you're not supposed to be doing for these tithes. They're supposed to be a gift. But when there's a kenyan on the karka, on the real property, and the movable property is acquired through that, that's considered a good giving, the karka. And it is permissible to do this transfer of the gifts of kahuna, and as Rashi pointed out, Levi and Maisarani, al gabi karka, on the heels of, together with the acquisition of the real property. Back in the Gemara. Rav Papa Amar, da sacheres maknosan. Rav Papa said there is an intentional giver who's trying to transfer this property to the recipient. Shani, that is different. In the case of Rav Gamliel, he is willfully and intentionally trying to effect the transfer, and that is different than the case of the Mishnah, where he's trying to acquire this, and there's no das acheres maknosan. You have the deer running through his field, his chicks. There's nobody trying to give it to him. The effect to transfer towards him. So over there, he has to be by his field. Not Timra. And from where we derive this from? It's not, as was taught in the Mishnah. Rosam, Rotznacha, Mitzia, Hulu. V'alma, Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yochanan. V'hu, Sherotzach, Reinu, Magia. Rabbi Yirmiyah. In the name of Rabbi Yochanan qualifies the Mishnah that it must be that he's able to run after them and actually catch up to them, be able to catch them. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah, b'matana, eich. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked a question, a very pertinent question. What is the halacha by a gift? In case the Mishnah is not a gift. But what about by a gift? Does he also need to run after them and catch up to them? Kibbane Rabbi Abba Barkana. Rabbi Abba, very receptive to this question and felt that it was something that would make a difference. Even though he runs after them and will not be able to catch up to them, he says, Cheres Makna, when somebody else is trying to give them, you don't need him to be able to catch up to these animals. My time, Allah Meshum, the Dasa Cheres Magnosum, Shiny. Not because we say that the intention of the giver who wants to effect a transfer is different. Therefore, he doesn't need to catch up to them. Dasa Cheres Magnosum is facilitating the Kenyan, and therefore, you don't need him to be able to catch up. See Rashi, Rav Papa Amar, the Olam B'Taras. Really, the acquisition was through Kenyan Chotzer, an acquisition through his courtyard. And even with that being the case, we still do not have a kasha, a challenge against Ula's assertion, that which, in this case of Rabbi Gamliel, there's no need for them to be standing next to the field. They're both on the ship. All of the parties are on the ship. Mishum d'dazares maknosan. That is because there's an additional factor here that is not in play in the Mishnah. In the case of the story with Rabbi Gamliel, he is intentionally trying to effect an acquisition in favor of those he's trying to give these over to, these tithes. And Das Acheres Maknosan, as Rabbi Yirmiyah questioned, does make a difference. Rabbi Gamliel, Hikne Lehen Metaltlin, Rabbi Gamliel gave over to them, transferred to them, these movable properties of the tithes, Shahayla b'chatzer shalehen, that he had in at this point their chatzer, velo mefkira kano, they didn't acquire it from hefker, was not ownerless, v'no chematana zu piknos, it's easier to acquire since it's a gift, the ain, and therefore they do not need to stand next to the field for this Kenyan Chatzir. They could be standing on a ship. Why? Because Rabbi Gamliel has Das Acheres Maknim. He is willfully intending for them to be the recipients. So therefore, the recipients don't need to be next to the field, even for a Kenyan Chatzir, and Ula is not being challenged by this story. Back in the Gemara, I actually have more Rashi's. Hu Shar Zachareyan, and the Mishnah is when he's running after them. The Mishnah which says his field acquires for him is when he's able to catch up to them. Magian. He can run after them and catch up to them. Kodem Shitzmas there. Before they exit from his field. Question, what is the case when you have Das Acheres Maknim, when you have somebody else trying to intentionally gift the owner of the field with these animals that are going through the field? Umagian, do we require this element that the owner of the field, in order to effectively acquire them, has to be able to run after them and catch up to them? V'lo lokan, and if not, then there is no acquisition, like by Hefka. Umatzinos l'mahadabe, and as a practical matter, the one who is intentionally trying to give it, if you require that the recipient needs to be able to run after and catch up to these animals, and he doesn't have that capacity, then the giver could change his mind. Although, or no, once the giver has intention to transfer ownership, if the owner of the field has no need to be able to catch up to the animals, and his field acquires for him, then the giver can't back out. Kibla minei Rabbi Abel, lahak by the Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Rabbi Abel, the Shapedok, he felt this differentiation was very appropriate. And there is a differentiation between a gift, the acquisition, when there's Das Acheres Maknim, when there's an intentional giver on the other side, and the acquisition from Hefka, from something that's ownerless. And by a gift, even though he's not standing there, able to catch up to them, he's able to receive through his Kenyan Chatzir these items. Back in the Gemara, Amar Lei Reb Simi, or Papa, Reb Simi said to Reb Papa, Hare Get, behold, you have the case of a Get, bill of divorce, the Das Acheres Maknim Osam, that you have the intention of the husband to give it over to his wife. Vamar Ula, and Ula stated, Vehu Shomedes B'tzad Beisa. In order for the acquisition to be effective, for the Kenyan Chatzir to work, that the get will be acquired through the field, through the acquisition of Chatzir, requires that she is standing next to her house, B'tzad Chatzir, or next to her courtyard. So you see this differentiation that Rabbi Yirmiyahu opposed is not accepted by Ula, apparently, because by giving it a get, and there is Das Acheres Maknim, there's the intentionality of the giver to effect this transaction, the acquisition for the recipient. Still, Ula requires that the woman be standing at the site of the chatzir for the Kenyan chatzir. Gemara answers, shiny get. We can differentiate. The get is different, the bill of divorce is different. De'i say, because it's effective even against her will, so therefore it's unique, not comparable. The acquisition of a get, of this bill of divorce, is different, that it is effective even against her will. He is the husband giving it to her. And it's not to her advantage to be divorced, and she's not interested, or conceivably not interested, so she has to be standing there next to the chatzir in order for it to work. That's why Ula requires that here, even though there's Das Acheres Maknim. Maskif lo Rav Sheshes B'Rei Rav Idi. Rav Sheshes B'Rei Rav Idi asks a question. V'lav kalachomer? Is it not a kalachomer? This difference that you're introducing of Bal Korchi against her will, if that's the case, my get, d'ise Bal Korchi, concerning the case of giving over this get, this bill of divorce, that is against her will, she acquires the get whether she wants it or not. If she's standing there next to her chatzir, her house, then it works. The acquisition is effective. But if not, not. Matana, a gift, in contrast, that is only effective through the willful recipient. Can't be given a gift against your will. You have to be interested. Shouldn't we say all the more so where the recipient must have intentionality to receive it, that he has to be standing next to the chatzir or the bais? Rashi says, "Blav kavachomer min atam azeh yesh lodnut kol shken kinyan ach." From this reasoning, we should be able to derive a kol shken, all the more so, for another acquisition. Maget chiisa b'tzad chatzir. Acquisition of this bill of divorce requires that she's next to her courtyard. V'lo nichala l'mikneya. It's not something she's interested. She doesn't want to acquire the get. Even still, she does acquire it. Amrina ilalo. But she must be there. If she's not there, it won't work. Matana, but a gift, the lesser balka, cannot be effective against the will of the recipient. If the recipient says, I'm not interested in the gift, there will be no transfer, no acquisition. Wouldn't we say all the more so that the recipient of a gift has to be standing next to the courtyard to acquire for them? Ino, when the recipient says, I am interested, tzricha shetehei b'tachatzir, she needs to be standing next to her chatzir. The recipient, Ela Amar Rav Ashi, the Gemara says, rather, Rav Ashi says, top of your base one, Ela, chatzir is Rav Mishumyet. Rav Ashi says the acquisition of chatzir, of a courtyard, is an extension of a kinyan yad, of an acquisition of the hand, v'lo gora mishlichus, and it's not less than the acquisition of a messenger, gabi get, the chovula. Concerning the case of a bill of divorce, it is to her detriment, she's losing out by being divorced, that's the default presumption, ein chav in l'adam el v'fonim, there's no capacity to effect a change to another person's detriment, other than in his presence. You can't do that through shlichus. That could be yad. You could give it into their hand. You could give that into their hand, but you cannot do it through shlichus, through messenger, which we're saying the chaser works either as yad or shlichus, or as a messenger. Gabi matana, in contrast, by a gift, this chusulo, that's considered a merit to the advantage of the recipient. In that case, where it's to the advantage of the recipient, he doesn't have to be there. He doesn't have to be standing next to the courtyard. You don't have to work only through yad, which is in his presence, but also through shlichus, where the chatzar is acting as though it were an emissary, because it's to its advantage to receive this gift. That's Rav Ashi's explanation. See Rashi. Ela Amar Rav Ashi, lo tasutamim shum karcha. The operative factor here is not because the bill of divorce is effective against her will in a time warp. The rationale by a gift, what is behind it? The lo b'inan omeid etzla. Why is it not necessary for the recipient to be standing on the side of the courtyard to effect this acquisition? Kivan de miyada is rabbi, since the acquisition of the courtyard is derived from kinyan yad, an extension of the hand, logara lehetivla. It is also not worse than her emissary to her benefit. The recipient can receive benefit. If somebody has an emissary who receives a gift on their behalf, the recipient will accept it and it will be acquired to the recipient without their being present. Even though she's not standing right on the side of Chatzera, even though she's not standing right next to the actual recipient, Chatzera nami loshna. So too, by the acquisition, by the object being in the chatzar, in the courtyard, we'll say the same idea. Oh, no. Therefore, when it comes to the acquisition of a gift, where it's to the benefit of the recipient, and ansadi the nechala, here are the witnesses that it is to her benefit, shetehei shlucha, that this courtyard should be acting as the emissary for her, and therefore, acquisition is effective to her, kishlia, like an emissary. Avagami get, in contrast, by the acquisition of the bill of divorce, dechovula, that is to her disadvantage, lo nechala, teshlucha. It's not to her advantage that the chatzar should act as her emissary. Hilka, kemenes betzida al karcha yodi. When she's standing there next to the chatzar, it is like an extension of her hand. An acquisition is against her will, and it works. Get al karcha. If the husband puts the get in her hand, the acquisition is effective even against her will. But if not, lav yodi, it is not effective as her hand, and it's not her emissary. This is explaining the rationale to differentiate between the transfer of the bill of divorce and a gift. Even though in both cases, you have intentionality on the part of the giver to effect a transfer, concerning this courtyard, even though it is considered an extension of her hand, as described earlier, Yudam and Beis, Logar, it is not less than Shlichus, being sent as an emissary, that is, if you also would say that it's not included an extension from Venasim Diyada, have enough Glow and Chatzim Shlichus, besides the kinyan of yad that chatzer is able to function as, an extension of her hand, it is also considered to be acting on behalf of the recipient, as shlichus, mishum yad, mishum katan uktana. The necessity to view a chatzer, the courtyard that can affect an acquisition, as an extension of the hand, that is because of minors, to less nubataras shlichus, that are not included in the ability to have emissaries. That's why it's necessary to explain chatzer through the lens of yad, as an extension of the hand. But wherever there is, in addition to yad, wherever there's also shlichus, that the person is capable of having an emissary, so the chatzer also has that optionality. The courtyard can function as a shliach, as an emissary, to effect an acquisition. Therefore, concerning the bill of divorce, it's to the woman's disadvantage. It can only happen before her, and it needs to be that the chatzer is acting as her yad. Hilkach beget lo tabi ella. The only way that the chatzer can work against her will, this courtyard will acquire the bill of divorce, is as an extension of her hand. And in order for it to function in such a way, just as her hand is next to her, so too her courtyard has to be next to her. She has to be standing there in order for the acquisition through her courtyard to be effective against her will. That works even when the person is not there. And without his knowledge. The Bach brings over here, in spite of the fact that the Gemara says that that one who hates gifts will live. So why are we saying, like we said in Rashi before, Anan Sa'adi, to his benefit, to receive the gift? That's only if the person declares this. But the presumption is that he wants to receive the gift, and it's to his advantage. So, son of Tanas Yechia is a madrega. It's not the presumption. To the contrary, the presumption is it's to his advantage. Certainly his portfolio is increasing, and therefore does not require his conscientious accepting of this gift. There's a presumption it's to his benefit, and he doesn't have to be there, he doesn't have to know about it. Then on Sahadi, because we are the witnesses, it's to his advantage. That the chatzer, this courtyard, should act as his emissary. He less of a chatzer, therefore, when he's not there on the side of his courtyard, the leka, the dmuy liado, the enes mukhala, the bakla, zachiyasa, mishlichusa, yecha the shucha zochala shulabafana, aternami zochala shulabafana. When it's a gift, we view the chatzer through the lens of shlichos, and just as the emissary can receive something without the actual recipient being present or even knowing about it, when it's to his advantage, so too over here. Umiu gabi mitzia. However, in contrast, by a find, ilese gabo, the lo nafkas chias mishum yad, when he's not there, and we don't derive the acquisition of the chatzer as a din in yad, as an extension of his hand, lek lerbuya mishlichos. We do not also have the added potential of the courtyard making an acquisition as an emissary. Gab shlichos ika das ashaleach. When you have an emissary, the one who is the counterparty who is sending has intentionality, odas shliach, or the intentionality of the messenger. By the case of chatzer, there's no das. There's no das whatsoever. The courtyard cannot have any intentionality. You don't have das shliach, not das shliach. So you need das achares makno also in order to have the additional utility of this chatzer to act. And that's not the case by Metzia, by a fine. Back in the Gemara, Gufa. Ra Oson, Ratzin Achar Metzia. Let's evaluate, reevaluate this. We saw, he sees, running after Metzia, Chulu, Salamishna, Amrav Yirmiya, Amrav Yochanan, Ushra Tachareyan, Umagiyan. They qualify that he has to be capable. The owner is trying to make these acquisitions of running after them and catching up to them to actually be able to get them. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiya, Matana. Birmia asked, is this the same? Will you have the same requirement that he has to be able to run and actually catch up to them by a gift? Rabbi Abba Bakano accepted this differentiation. And he felt Rabbi Birmia's question is in order. By a gift, he does not need to be able to run after them and actually catch up to them. Even without that, since there's Das Achares Makna, he has the intentionality to give over. So he will be able to acquire without needing to run after and catch up to them. Boy, Rava asked a question. Zarek Arniki, the Pesach Lezay. What happens if somebody throws a purse in one entrance, and it just goes through the other entrance? It goes through his courtyard from one side to the other. Mahu, what is the halacha? Olo, it's going through the airspace. It's not going to rest. It, in fact, just passed through the airspace from one end to the other. Do we view that as entering his chatzar or not? Is it kemunach dami or not? Is it like it's been resting in his courtyard or not? Rashizok anaki, vifkiru cholokodim. The one who threw this purse says, okay, whoever comes here first gets it, that it's not actually going to be resting b'socha aver in the airspace. It's going straight through. Dami, is it like it is resting within the courtyard? And the owner of the courtyard will acquire it. Olav kemunach dami. Or do we say it's not like it's resting in the courtyard? Abayis. Shidalon, tefilu kodem isha acher. Kolta besocha avir lo kana. If it would actually be, then it's obvious that even if somebody would come and intercept it before it fell into the property, into the courtyard, that he would not be able to upend the acquisition of the chatzit. Mishnechnas avir kano. Balabayis. As soon as it entered the airspace, and it was destined without interference to rest within the chatzer, within the courtyard, certainly we would say the owner of the house or the courtyard would acquire it. The mission over there says if she was standing at the top of the roof, the zorak la get, and the husband threw the get to her, since it entered the airspace of the roof, behold, she is divorced. He's above and she is below. When she also mishos agag, since it has gone forth from the domain of the roof, nimchako nisra, arizum is mugareshes. Even if it got erased or burned, she is already divorced. The ein magin, and not be able to catch up to them, alma, is gaglim yotzin heim, the ein sofen lenuach, kamar dekana le sadeh. Let's see, continuing the Gemara. Amar le Rav Papa, the Rav. Rav Papa said to Rav. Amri la Rav Adab Amasma l'Rava. Some say it was Rav Adab Amasma said to Rava. Amri la Ravina l'Rava. Some say it was Ravina who responded to Rava. About this question of the Arniki, throwing this purse through the airspace of the house or the chotzer, courtyard, in a way that it's not going to rest. What is the status? So is it comparable or not? Amar le Nisgalgel Kanet. So he responded, Rava said, my question is not comparable to the case of Mishnah. Can't prove from there. You're talking about a case where it's misgalgal, it's rolling, that the item is galloping or hopping, whatever it is, it's rolling through. Shani misgalgal, tikimunach dami. In that case, certainly we say it is like munach, like resting in the courtyard, and there will be an acquisition there. But my case where it only is going through the airspace and never actually was destined to rest within the airspace, we have no proof to that case. And my question stands unresolved. That's what Rava asserts. The aim sofen lenuach, kama dekana l'sadeh. In that case, they are rolling through and going out. They're not going to be resting in the field. There we say the field acquires it for the owner of the courtyard. But Rava says you can't prove from that case to a case where it's avir shein sofen lenuach. He doesn't have a resolution to his question. Mishnah. Mitzias beno ubito ktani. The find. The last object was found by his son and his daughter, who are small. Typically it means minors. We'll see in the Gemara what the Pshat in Akhtanin means. And see, it's Ado Jirchoso Akhtanin. The last object found by his slave or maidservant, who are Kinanin. The full case of Eved. And see, it's Ishto and the find of his wife, Arei L'Shalom. In all these cases, whether it be the father, the owner, or the husband, he is the recipient that will acquire all of these objects that were found by these various parties. In contrast, the find of a son and daughter who are great, typically it means that they're over bar bas mitzvah. We'll see again in the Gemara what that means, gedolim. Mitzias avdo v'shevchaso ivrim, the find of his eved ivri or ama ivriya, mitzias ivshto shegersha, the case of a of a find found by his wife that he divorced, to see in the Gemara what that means, Afi Shalo Nosan Ksuba, even though he's not given her yet, her Ksuba, Arei Elo Shalahem. In all these cases, the one who found them can keep them. Does not go to the father, the owner, or ex-husband, quasi-husband. We'll see. So the Gemara will discuss this. Rashi points out that there's a derivation from the verse that concerning a minor, it's not only a minor by a woman, but even a nairo, that even though she's between 12 and 12 and a half, she has the status of majority, but she's a nairo, still kol shvach nairav aviyah. Anything that she acquires goes to her father within that 6 month period. Sharei gufan kanoilo olamis. He owns them. They are his slaves. Yasiv, these nechalten, and you shall bequeath them. So they are property that he owns. What they find, he acquires by the Eved, Eved Kanani, and Shevcha Kananis. Metzias Yishto, Rabbonon, Tkinu Le Mishum Evel. This is a rabbinic enactment that the wife who finds the lost object, her husband acquires it because of Eva, to avoid strife between them. He's busy shelling out for all of her needs, and that is presumably more expensive than any income she makes, including what she finds as the last object. Rabbanon said to smooth things over, they gave it to him. Metzias Avdo Shechoso Ivrin, the safe of the Mishnah, by the case of the find of Eved Kanani, Eved Ivri rather, we have this question. The Gemara poses the question, why don't we say that the Eved Ivri or Shifcha Amo Ivriya, they should be like a poet? They should be like a hired hand. We said earlier in Dafyud, by a hired hand, he's a day laborer, and he finds something, it goes to the Balabais. So why, in this case, this part of the Mishnah, do we say that the Eved Ivri and Amo Ivriya, their find goes to themselves? Gemara's going to address that. Let's see the Gemara. Amar Shmuel. Mema Amru Metzias Katan Aviv. Shmuel said, why did they say that the find of a minor goes to his father? He's learning the Mishnah. Kipshuto, Katan Man. Shemisha Shemotsa, at the time that the minor finds this lost object, Marisa Yitzalavi, he quickly runs it over to his father. Rashi, Mishnah Mabito Vishto, Emifarshlevo, Vimikomon, Ksuvas. They don't have caches in the other parts that go to the owner or husband, or by his daughter, we don't have a cache. El Beno, time of mind. But by his son, why is it? Why is it that the minor son acquires this lost object on behalf of the father? Maritza Yitzhak, he runs it to the father, his father, Hilkach, Kishmagbiya, Letzarachav, Evigbiya. Therefore, when he picked it up, he's picking it up for his father's needs. He runs it to his father right away. So the picking up is an acquisition for the father. That's Shmuel. And does not stay long in his hand. A laborer, a day laborer. His son was poor, can take leket, these small bits of grain, after his father, the day laborer, is harvesting. So the leket can go to the son. It is permissible for the son of this laborer, if he's poor, to take leket, this gift to the poor, after his father. As leket hanosha, the leket that has fallen off. Aval im kibel apo, as a sod, continuing in the Gemara, the Mechsas Shish Lurvia, if, instead of being a day laborer, he was hired as a percentage, he's going to harvest the field, and he will acquire half of the produce, a third or a quarter of the produce, and now he's getting a stake in the harvest. He's not just a day laborer paid for his hourly wage, for the day's wage, then his son, the son of this upgraded partner in the harvest, the son cannot acquire after him the leket. That's the Tanakam. Rabbi Yossi omer ben kach ben kach, and let him know the ishto achor. Rabbi Yossi says it doesn't matter whether he's a day laborer being paid the wage for his labor, or he's given a partnership in the harvest, his son or his wife could actually take the leket after him. He's doing the work, and they can collect as aniyim. V'amar Shmuel halachak Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi, who says even when he's a stakeholder, he has a portion of the harvest, nonetheless, the son or wife has the ability to collect leket. That's a kasha. Hirashi, Yilkuno Achrov, we saw, Aval im kibel apol es hasode. However, if the laborer received the field in a partnership manner where he's going to get part of the harvest, half, a third, or a quarter for his labor. Oshu, now he's called rich. Barehu kebal habayit. Besadazeh, he's considered like the owner of this field. Ve'lo yotob no'achrov, and his son is not allowed to take the leket, this gift to the poor, after him. Lefisha leket no lo'ovit, because the son is acquiring this leket for his father. That's the Tzedek Amo. Rabbi Yossi disagrees. Ben-kach ve'en-kach. Nima av Oshir, ben-oni, v'zoch la'atzmo. Even if the father is rich, because he's got this deal, he's got a stake, half, third, quarter of the harvest, the son is still poor and can acquire it for himself. And that's Heshmuel Paskins. Yeah, Rabbi Shlomo Koton, Isli Zechil and Afshe. If you say that the minor has the ability to acquire for himself, Midoraisa, Bahez, on a biblical level, when he's taking this leket, taking it for himself, and the father is going to take it from his son, but the son acquired it first. And the son was an ani. He was poor. Eliyamrit katan, less than Sliyanashe. But if you say that the minor has no ability to acquire for himself, ki kamalakit, l'adu kamalakit. When he is taking this leket, it is immediately for his father. Vavua ashu. And his father is rich. Amai. Ishto ba. Why should it be that his wife and son can take the leket after this poel who's been upgraded to have a stake in the harvest? The Gemara resolves that Shmuel is saying an exposition of the Tana, of our Tana, but he himself doesn't agree to it, not actually reflecting his own opinion when he explains the Pshat in the Mishnah that Shabashar Shmutziya Maritza Itzel Avid, Benam Ach Rabbi Yossi. Not his own opinion. The Sav Rabbi Yossi, he holds like Rabbi Yossi. What does Rabbi Yossi hold? Kaltan Isles Chidam Idarais. The minor can acquire something on a biblical level. Rashi Tamba de Tana Dun Kamar. Shmuel is explaining the reasoning of our Tana. Why does the Tana of our Mishnah say that the finding of the minor goes to his father? But he himself doesn't hold of it, but of it. That the finding of the minor is to his father. He holds that the cotton does have a kinyan deraisa like Rabbi Yossi, and the Metzia of the cotton goes to the cotton. Vatnan, back in the Gemara, we have a Mishnah, Metzia Schersha the cotton. The find of the deaf mute, the one who's insane, or the minor, those finds are subject to theft because of Darkei Shalom, because of the Torah's ways of peace, not the biblical status, but rabbinically. Rav Chista qualifies. It's not that Rav Yossi holds that it's biblical. Rabbinically, it's treated as Gezel Gomer, completely theft. Taking candy from a baby, it's completely theft rabbinically. Nafka Mino. Let's see what they on. What does it matter whether it's Darkei Shalom or Gezel Gomer, if it's anyway rabbinic, either way? Gemara says the difference is, will the judges take it out of the hands of the one who took it? He stole it. He's not allowed to do that. Will it be restored to the minor? According to Rabbi Yossi, yes. To the Tanakh Amo, it's only Darkei Shalom, and it's not going to be restored to the minor. Just you're not allowed to take it. Ela Amar Abaye. Rather, Abaye says, "Asukami shahalchu ba nemushos." It's like as though it has already been gone through. Danim gufayo maschid atayim, that the poor themselves give up hope of getting more leket. Savri bredeheich malakile. The other poor people say, "Oh, the son of this fellow, yeah, he's asher, he's rich, he's got a stake in the harvest, but the son is collecting the leket, and he's gonna get it." They gave up hope of getting it. Amar le, Rav Ada bar Masna le Abaye. Rav Ada bar Masna says to Abaye, "Chimoter ladam lahar b'tzarib b'sof sadeo." Is it permissible per person to bring a lion into his field, kedei sheira aniyim b'ivrchu, in order that the poor people should be afraid to collect leket and they'll run away? Obviously not. You can't do that. So the fact that the father's bringing his son in and they give up hope, that's like bringing a lion into the field, scaring them away from taking leket. How's that permissible? Yes, they might give up hope, but how can you do such a thing? Ella Omar Rava, rather, Rava said, also, she'ena zolchik azolchik, they made a status of one who does not have an acquisition, like one who acquires. My time, why would they do such a thing? Aniim gufay onichlu. It is to the benefit of the poor themselves. Right. Let's go before that. And since even Rabbi Yossi agrees, biblically, the minor has no way of acquiring for himself. Then it comes out. How does Rabbi Yossi say that the rich father can have his son collect the gifts of the poor after this leket, after he's doing the harvest, why isn't the father considered stealing from the other poor people? Son's collecting it straight to the father. This worker has sons and a wife who are poor. So there is yiush, there is despair from this leket. Therefore, it's like a field that has already been sifted through, gone through. The leket has already been collected. If not, at a certain point, once it's already been gone over twice, searching for all leket, maybe a few bits of grain were not harvested. So what? Anybody's allowed to go and pick it up because there's no anticipation of collecting leket second time around. At that point already, the aniyim are not going to go back looking for leket. It's already been gone through twice. Here also, the aniyim are not hopeful of getting leket. As you saw the kasha, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to put up your line to make them despair of getting. And this case is different because they also have aspirations. They hope they'll get a job and still their sons will be able to take leket because they're not rich. So therefore, it's permissible. It's not like putting up a line. They hope it'll work in their favor next time. Upliga, and this is against Rabbi Chiya. We're not talking about an adult in the classic sense of gadol. V'lo katan katan mamash. And we're not talking about a minor. Ela gadol v'samach ha-shulchan abi. A whole different approach that takes the Mishnah out of the simple understanding. What does it mean that he's a gadol or a katan? So gadol, the case of normally an adult, here we mean that he is, if he is an adult, and somach al-shulchan abi, though he might be over by mitzvah, but he is dependent on his father's table. He's not financially independent. Zeo katan. That has the status of a minor. Katan, ve'en somach al-shulchan abi, zeo gadol. In contrast, if he's a minor and is not dependent on his father, the big tycoon, even though he's not in bar mitzvah, so he has the status of a gadol. According to Rabbi Yochanan, the uptight of our Mishnah is not kipshuto, but dependent on the financial independence of the son. If he's financially independent, he has a status of gadol, and what he acquires of mitzvah is for himself. If he's financially dependent on his father, it doesn't matter whether he's over or under bar mitzvah, the mitzvah goes to the father. Rashi, kan asuz kizochen. Even though typically a minor does not have the ability to acquire, here they made him like one who acquires, a taima. Why did they make that happen? By the case of leket. The other poor are happy with this arrangement. Behind the kanto, this enactment is to their benefit. When they get a job, their wife and children will be able to take the leket after them. They're happy about that. So they don't mind that the other poel who's been upgraded to get a stake in the harvest is allowed to have his wife and children get leket for themselves. Shmuel said that a katan, a minor, has no schia. He's learning the Mishnah as talking about a katan mamish, strictly speaking, a minor, in the classic sense. Even an adult who has the ability to make an acquisition of it, if he is dependent on his father's table, if he finds something, so that lost object goes to the father. That's an enactment because of Ava. The father is supporting the son. So if the son makes some money, some acquisition, some income, it goes to support the father to offset the expenditures for his upkeep. But if the son is independently wealthy, not relying on his father, even if he's a minor, he's 10 years old, made it big, not dependent on his father, he finds the lost object, it goes to himself. Continuing in the Gemara, we said that the lost object found by the Jewish slaves, Eved Ivri and Amo Ivriya, they get to keep it themselves. That was the safe of the Mishnah. Gemara asked a question, Rashi promised, here the Gemara delivers. Why don't we say he's just like a poel? Yes, he's an Eved Ivri, or an Amo Ivriya. Why do we say in that case they get to keep the object, the lost object that they found themselves? Why don't they say that they're similar to a poel? A hired laborer, which we said prior, that the lost object found by a hired laborer goes to the balabais, to the one who hired. Vitanya, we have a braisa, mitzias poel atzmo. That contravenes this assertion. We have a case of mitzia, lost object, that the poel finds, he can keep it himself. When do we say that? That's when the arrangement between the balabais and the poel was specific, where he said to him, I'm hiring you to weed for me today, or to till for me today, but if he says, just help me out today, you'll be a hired hand, I'm paying you for the day's labor, whatever I find that I need help with, do that. In that case, that's when we say, last object, that this type of generic day laborer finds, it goes to the one who hired him. Even though you would think to equate the generic laborer who the metziah, the lost object that he finds, goes to the balbais, say that's similar to an evet ivri or ama ivriya, that they generically work for their master, for whatever he needs. Why don't we say it's the same? Why does the Mishnah say that what they find, they get to keep? Rabbi Yochanan says we're talking about a very specific type of evet ivri or ama ivriya. The evet no gave magolias askino. We're talking about one who has a specific type of labor. He engages in piercing pearls. So in order to string the pearl, you have to pierce it. It's a job that requires some fine skills. And that type of slave, that type of evet ivri, is what we're talking about, where if he finds a metziah, he can keep it. He doesn't say, just, I want you to be a hired hand, unskilled labor. He's got a skill. He wants him to stay focused on that skill. So therefore, if he finds a lost object, the master doesn't say, just do whatever you do on my behalf. He wants him to stay focused on the stringing of the pearls, so he's not interested in him doing other things. So when he finds a lost object, that's other things, he can keep it himself. That's the limited case of the Mishnah. Rava says a different answer, that it does not detract from the labor. While he's working, he's able to simultaneously pick up the lost object, so the master's not losing. He's still continuing to do the labor for the master without missing a beat. He also pockets this lost object, so therefore he can keep it. Rav Papa says, the case is where he was hired to find lost objects. What would be a case where you have the floating of the swamp with fish? So there's a whole bunch of fish on the top, and he hires the laborer, help me harvest these fish. It's lost objects that he wants to catch. So that's where we say, since he hired him for lost objects, if besides finding these fish, which he's being hired to do, he finds other things, that's where the poel gives over the metziah to the balabais. That's the whole job, is to find metziahs, find lost objects, find things that are owner rashi. Lo yeh ela poel. Lo yeh avdo. Why don't we say that the evet ivri, ela socher bal, treat him like a hired hand, and he knows so the balabais. And we have this assertion that the metziah, the lost object of the poel, goes to the balabai. So he's a hired hand, goes to the master who's hired him. When it's not specific to what purpose he's been hired, he just says, work for me today. When this slave, evet ivri, was acquired, it wasn't for something specific. Generally speaking, whatever I need help with, I'll have you do that. A general servitude. So Yochanan said, we were talking about a type of evet that has a unique skill, where he does not want to set him on different tasks. Therefore, it's not to his advantage to set him on the task of picking up a lost object. It's not typically going to be worth more. They found something that's not quite worthless, but to go and retrieve it is normally less valuable than this highly skilled labor. Therefore, in a case where he finds it, it's his. The case where the evet ivri has a specific skill which he was hired for. Rashi says he has to pay his master for the time it takes him to pick it up. But if he picks it up, he can keep it. Im malachto, it's another teretz, that is able to do two things simultaneously. Shalobitel klum hilkalatum. Since he did not take anything away from his master, he's able to keep it himself. That's the case of the Mishnah. Rav Papa amar, ha detanya po metziyos balbay. Rav Papa says that which was taught in the Braisa, that the hired laborer who finds a lost object, that object goes to the one who hired him. That's the case of Schar Lilkul Metzias, when he was hired to gather in lost objects, hired many. Behechi Domi, Yisrami, what's the case? The Afke Agma B'Kviri. The Afke Agma Shetzof Hanar Chutz L'Dosof. You have an overflow of the river, and you have rising up a bunch of fish. As soon as the water recedes, you're going to have a whole bunch of fish there. kofa pasla. This loshen akve is the floating. The case over here describes is where there's this overflow, and when the water recedes, you're going to have a bunch of fish ready to be caught. So that's the case where he's hired to get metzias. Then we say any metzia that he finds, that the poel finds, goes to the baal bais. And in the case of the eved, he's not that type of poel, not for metzia dafka. So that's the learning the Mishnah, kipshuto, that a regular eved ivri will be able to keep his metzia. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan learns, it's a limited case. It's only the type of eved ivri that has a specialized skill where the master doesn't want him to do other things. Hai shivcha hechidam. Continuing the Gemara, the case of shivcha, what is the case? If the case is that she's already physically mature, so then what is she doing by the master? And if she is not at all, so if she has a father, then her lost object goes to the father. And if there is no father, she's an orphan, she goes free. She's not an Amma Ivriya when her father dies. So what is the case of the Amma Ivriya that is Shaykh to our Mishnah? As Rish Lakish said, this Jewish maidservant, she acquires herself at her father's death, and she's no longer under the jurisdiction of the master. He learned it from Kavach Homer, Rish Lakish. Was Rish Lakish not disproved? Suggests that from this Mishnah also, we can reject Rish Lakish. You don't have to reject Rish Lakish from our Mishnah. You could say the case is where the father is still alive. My harein shalahen. What does it mean that the lost objects are theirs, including the case of the Amma Ivriya? Nafuke derabo. The exclusion of her master. It does not go to her master. What does it mean it's theirs? It'll go to the father. That's the uptaich, pashat uptaich. Rashi. My boy gabe. What is she doing by him? Oh, Tanya, yotsu bismanim. She goes free when she is of physical maturity. Davu ahavi. Mitsiyasa dahoktani. Her lost object should go to her father because she's a minor. If there is no father, my boy, what's she doing by the master? She should go free from the master as soon as her father died. I'm at the Kedushin. We said before, Rashi pointed out, status of the Maisi Adayim of the girl continued to accrue to the father even after she's 12 until Bagrus. So she's from 12 to 12 and a half, even though she has Simone, the Mitzia or Maisiyadayim, whatever she acquires, goes to her father. And yet, by the master, as soon as she's of physical maturity, so she departs from his domain. So we have a limud, that she goes free from Avdus, she's no longer an Amma Ivriya, as soon as she enters Yemein Iris from 12. Certainly, if the father dies, he does not bequeath the rights of her acquisitions to his sons, even though he in his lifetime would have another 6 months, he does not bequeath that to his sons, and she can keep whatever she finds or earns to Bito. That which the Torah acquired to the father in his daughter, La'achin, it is not yet bequeathed to her brothers. Is nachaltem osam lebenechem v'lo benoseichem lebenechem. Ein adin, shmetzinyar mishas adam. So since we say that the death of the father takes away all rights, so too we should say that death of the father takes away the rights, not just the extension of the father's rights, but certainly the extension of rights by the master who acquired her as Namivriya. Avitos Rav Shimon Lakish, Bekedushin, Gemara rejects Rav Shimon Lakish, Afuke de Rabbo. Gemara says you can't disprove Rav Lakish from our Mishnah, Afuke she'eno shel Rabbo, to the exclusion of the case that it's not of her master, Ela shel Aviyah. Rather, it goes to her father, Karle shelahan. In a loose sense, it's called theirs. Because the father acquires from his daughter. So, in fact, it's a loose explanation of the Mishnah, but you can't disprove Rish Lakish from a Mishnah. Even though the Gemara and Kedushin does reject him, but this Kal V'chomer, but not disproven from our Mishnah. And see, it's Ishta Akta, the finding of his wife. If he divorced her, Pshita, obviously she can keep it herself. What are we talking about? It's where she's divorced and not divorced. There, Amr Shmuel, Rabbi there said the name of Shmuel, Kuvinim Gresheth. All the places that we said, where the sages said, is divorced and not divorced, is a case of doubt. By Lechayel Benazah Seha, her husband is liable and required to pay for her upkeep. He has to continue giving her food. Time Amai, what is the reasoning? Amar Rabbanim, Tzis Ishla Baila. The whole rationale that the sages enacted that the find of a wife goes to her husband is in order there should not be strife between husband and wife. But over here, there's plenty of Eva. Over here, he's already trying to divorce her, and there's a cloud of unclarity. Is she divorced or not divorced? The protocol would be to actually follow through with the divorce. And over here, we're not going to say that the Metzia should go to the husband. She can keep it herself. Rashi, she's divorced and not divorced. In a case where it's unclear who it was closer to, the husband is still obligated to continue paying for his wife. Therefore, it was necessary to teach us that what she finds, she can keep. Because the rationale is based on Eva, so it's a little bit uncharted territory over here. It needed to tell you in the Mishnah that even though she was divorced, but not fully divorced because it's a case of doubt whether it worked or not, he's required to give her another get. We say that in this case, where he should be going forward with another divorce, there's Eva, and she can keep her lost object, whatever she acquires, any earnings, in spite of the fact that the husband is still required in the interim, till he gives her another get, to continue the upkeep. We're not worried about Eva at this point, getting divorced. He's still on the hook as further pressure to ensure that he give her the divorce. Okay. How much did we do exactly? I wasn't more than the regular amount.
I think so.
Because we did most. We did like a daf and a half. Sometimes it's hard to find a good
where to stop or
start. Yeah. Or stop. Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Sure.
For the show. Today, this week is my mom's yahrzeit.
Oh wow, what day?
It's actually Saturday.
Okay.
But Adam. Ben. We usually do it down there. But then probably I will do it. I'll do something on Thursday.
Yeah, within 3 days.
Malka bat Menorah.
Malka bat Menorah. Good.
Yeah.
So Thursday.
Third.
Where, when, what's the plan?
Yeah, I don't know. I have to check with Kester maybe, or I'll do something and gather in. Yeah.
Let me know. Yeah.
For the show. Thank you for the coffee.
If somebody would call your name, you would answer right away?
Absolutely.
So then that's fine.
Drink your tap?
Yeah.
What's that 11? This is one of the girls today? Oh.